We see all the evidences of sin in others. When it comes to ourselves, we are perfectly strangers to the reality of the character that lives within us. It's so easy to feel tremendous conviction about the people around us. But when it comes to ourselves, we can often be so clueless. Isn't this exactly what Jesus taught in Matthew chapter 7, the speck versus the log? You are not to judge. Why do you see the speck in your brother's eye, but you miss the log that is in your own? That is David.
Hi, listeners, and welcome back to Live in the Light. I'm your host, Craig Turnbull, and joining me in our studio is our teacher, Pastor Robbie Simons. Hey, you've joined us at the end of our very great series on the life of David, looking at this amazing character in the Old Testament. Amazing because of all that he's gone through, and even more amazing because of the grace of God that has been upon this man's life, this man after God's own heart. Hey, Robbie, today's message is about confrontation. Not really a popular word, right? But an important word.
Yeah, it is. And it's a good place to end as we see God not settling for anything less than the fullness of David's heart. And that's where he is for us as well. And so we really, really pray that this series has been such an encouragement to you as we've kind of unpacked and exhorted the life of David in your life and in ours as well. And just a reminder, we love to hear from you because we're here by faith. We're on this station right now by faith and trusting that God will continue to provide as he wills to allow us to be here. And we know many of you are being encouraged. So we just say, would you take the time to send a note? Would you take the time to let us know how God is at work in your life, particularly as we wrap up this series on the life of David? That would mean a lot to us here at Live in the Light for our whole team. And just to know that God is working in many, many people's lives.
Well, as Robbie has said, we would love to hear from you. So if you want to reach out to us, make sure you grab us at our website at liveinthelight.ca. That's liveinthelight.ca. And while you're there, check out past episodes and even download a copy of today's message for free. You can also phone us up at 1-844-22-LIGHT. That's 1-844-225-4448. All right, let's go to today's message with Pastor Robbie, the confrontation of the heart.
This parable, again, David likely takes for an actual event. Because of the anger with which he demonstrates, it's like he sees this as an actual event under his rule, and he responds with a righteous indignation, or an indignation nonetheless. Notice in this parable, this is something that brings David's defenses down. God uses it to get David to feel, to get David to insert himself in the story. It makes him vulnerable. Really, it's a brilliant strategy of God, because God tends to be pretty smart, huh? And so God uses this parable, and David, without knowing it, he puts his heart on the table, and it's about to be confronted with grace and truth. The bait was on the hook, and David bit on it hard. Now, let's just make sure we're on the same page of what's happening within this parable spoken by Nathan. Some of us understand right now, some of us maybe don't. The parable contains the following: the rich man equals David, the poor man equals Uriah, the little lamb equals Bathsheba, and the traveler represents the lust of David coming to him in a form of temptation to take his heart away from where it should be. Notice David in his blindness, because this is what sin does to us. Sin blinds us. David in his blindness doesn't see any of this. He's not putting the things together. Maybe his heart has been hardened over enough time. He's not making any sense of this. David doesn't see himself in the story. David sees a rich man that deserves to die for his crime. So let's just stop right here, time out for a second, and let's learn a bunch right now of where David is and where we will find ourselves as well if we are not careful in the process of unconfessed sin. Warren Wiersbe says this: of all blindness, listen and learn, loved ones, learn Of all blindness, the worst kind is that which makes us blind to ourselves. Of all the blindness we can have, the worst kind is that which makes us blind to ourselves. Joseph Butler said this, many men seem perfect strangers to their own character. Isn't that so true? We see all the evidences of sin in others, but when it comes to ourselves, we are perfectly strangers to the reality of the character that lives within us. It's so easy to feel tremendous conviction about the people around us, but when it comes to ourselves, we can often be so clueless. Isn't this exactly what Jesus taught in Matthew chapter 7, the speck versus the log? You are not to judge. Why do you see the speck in your brother's eye, but you miss the log that is in your own? That is David. I've done this before. I want to do it again. One, because it's fun, and two, because it's very helpful, okay? The speck versus the log, okay? This is the guy with the log in his eye, okay? When Jesus says this, this is what the people are imagining. Something like this. And walking around saying, hey, look at the sin in your eye. Look at the sin. Oh, what is that? Oh, sorry, that's my log in my eye. But look at the sin in your eye. Look at the sin. Look how terrible you are. And meanwhile, you're walking around like this, and you look like the biggest fool on earth. That's what pride does to us. It blinds us to our own blindness. We're so easily able to see the sins of others, but so often fail to see the sin in ourselves. Learn right here. When we become distant from God, we fail to have true spiritual discernment. When unconfessed sin grows in our lives, our wisdom goes down. This is what was happening to David. Incredibly, here in this text, David sentences the man. And as he sentences the man without knowing it, he sentences himself. In this incredible moment here where David is greatly unguarded and vulnerable, what happens here is the plan has worked perfectly because God was the one who came up with the plan. And as David makes himself incredibly vulnerable, Nathan now pulls out the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, which judges the thoughts and intentions of our heart. And as Nathan pulls out the sword of the Spirit, he is about to pierce David between soul and spirit, Hebrews 4. And with four words, he will absolutely decimate David in the love of God. Four words that will never be forgotten. You are the man. Let me ask you, what did David's face look like in that moment? What did he do? Seemingly, he said nothing at that point. Did his mouth just draw open? Did his eyes go huge and wide? Was there a tremendous sense of awkwardness? Was the conviction so apparent that the blood drained from his face? You are the man. Just look at what the Lord does in love. Weeks and months of hardening of heart, and in one moment of Holy Spirit conviction through the word of God, four words, and bam, and done. David's heart now has been cut. David's heart now, surgery has been performed on it. Listen, when the Lord wants to speak, he will be heard. And when the Lord wants to speak in our lives, oh, I pray we would have ears, that we would have ears to listen. Right here in David's life is a defining moment. When he is confronted with his sin, what will he do? If he turns in pride, he will be greatly opposed by the Lord. But in that moment, the opportunity for humility, to humble myself under God's hand and to know and experience the grace of God again. When God confronts us in our sin, the way we respond determines the direction of our life from that point forward. A defining moment for David's life, because the Lord loves him so much, he sends someone to him. He loves him so much, he speaks to him and his sin. And thirdly, because the Lord loves him so much, he will sentence. In love, the Lord will now sentence. Now, point three is a hard pill to swallow for those of us living under the new covenant, which is everyone. And the reason that's a hard pill to swallow is because we know Romans says that there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Huge, huge amen from me, and hopefully a huge amen from you as well. That is so right. That is so true. Because of the blood of Jesus Christ, we are 100% forgiven if we have confessed our sins and asked for Jesus Christ to forgive us our sins. Every single sin, not one has been missed, as we sang in that song today. Awesome. No condemnation for those in Christ Jesus. However, this point is true for David in his temporal life. Consequences would be handed out because of his sin. And loved ones, it's true for us in our temporal life as well. 100% forgiven by Jesus Christ, yet sin brings with it consequences in some form and some way. So here's what God begins to unfold, and look at verse 7. David says, "Thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, I anointed you king over Israel, and I delivered you out of the hand of Saul. Listen to this. And I gave you your master's house and your master's wives into your arms and gave you the house of Israel and Judah." This is amazing to me. "And if this were too little, I would add to you as much more. Why have you despised the word of the Lord to do what is evil in his sight? You have struck down Uriah the Hittite with the sword and have taken his wife to be your wife and have killed him with the sword, not of your own sword, but the swords of the enemies of God's people." It's like, it couldn't be worse, the swords of the Ammonites. Look at verse 10. "Now therefore, the sword shall never depart from your house because," listen, "you have despised me," says the Lord of hosts. "Because you have despised me." Verse 9, "Why have you despised the word of the Lord?" Notice the heart of God throughout this text. David's sins described in verses 9 and 10, an offense against God himself. Now, isn't that what sin is? Sin is essentially, "God, I know your rules, but I hate them, and I want to play by my own rules. God, I know what you say, and I choose in this moment, I despise what you say, because in the end of the day, in my sin and in my flesh, I want to be God, not you. Get away from me, God. I hate your rules. I hate your ways. I love me. I love my sin." That was David. He knew exactly what he was to do and not to do. And he personally affronted the holy God by despising the word of God. And at the end of the day, God takes it personally upon himself. "Why have you despised me?" The more we think this way in terms of our sin, the healthier our hearts become. So often we're so horizontally focused. We're sinning against this person and parents and children and friends, and we're ruining heart. But the number one relationship in our existence is our vertical relationship with the Lord God Almighty. It also hit me so hard in verse 8 where it says, and if this were too little, I would add to you as much more. So this is the Lord speaking right through Nathan to David. These are the Lord's words. Essentially what God is saying, and just listen here and learn. Essentially what God is saying, he's saying, "David, I gave you so much. David, I gave you everything. You had everything a man could want." And then he says this to him, God in his astounding grace, he says, but David, if that was too little for you, you ask and I would have given you even more. The astounding grace of our God, the astounding kindness, the astounding generosity, the astounding love. And he owes us nothing. God owes us nothing. He owes David nothing. Nothing. He owes you and I nothing. But his willingness to pour grace upon grace. And notice this, loved ones, notice, which is so important for us to see. The seed then of David's sin, according to verse 8, the root of his sin was this. It was a lack of gratitude. He was not thankful. He was ungrateful. It was ingratitude in his life. Because ultimately, at the root of his sin with Bathsheba, he's saying, "God, I don't have enough. I want more. I choose her. God, you are not good because you have not provided for me the very things I need in this life." That is a massively important insight for our lives. Incredibly serious. The seed of ingratitude in our lives, which can result in such devastating sin. Can you see how ingratitude filters on your heart and mind and begins to form places of sin throughout our lives? Let me help you with that. Let me help us with some of this as well, because we need sometimes just to be given some examples to let this sink in a little farther. Think of how this truth impacts us. When we covet something or someone that isn't our own, When we long to have something that isn't ours, we covet it or someone, aren't we saying to God, God, I don't have enough. God, you are not good. You have failed me, God, because you have not given me everything that I want. Our covetousness, fundamentally, we are ungrateful before God and we accuse him of not supplying for us that which we think we deserve, that we need, that we're entitled to. Let me turn this slightly right now. When we hate others, are we not perfectly loved by God ourselves? When we gossip, has the Lord not pronounced us and declared us to be his own and his children? When we are jealous of others, are we not co-heirs with Christ in the immeasurable riches of his glory? When we steal, is not Jesus Christ our supreme treasure? Has he not given us everything we could ever want for this life and eternity in himself? And by his lavish of goodness and grace and love? When we want things of this world, are we not saying to Jesus Christ, you are not enough? You have not given me enough. You are not good enough. You are not beautiful enough. You have not served me enough. Is that not the evil of our heart coming out in that moment right there? When we withhold forgiveness from people and we have bitterness stored up in our heart, have we not forgotten that in Jesus Christ we are completely 100% forgiven ourselves? Think of the power of the gospel. The gospel in the Lord Jesus Christ right here, when it's properly applied, is our greatest weapon against temptation. David, fundamentally, if he had the gospel laid out for his life and God's goodness in his life and all that God has given him, that would be his single greatest weapon against adultery with Bathsheba, because when he looks at his God, he needs nothing else. When he sees God's provision, he doesn't want anything else. But when the heart wanders and the heart goes to a place that it's about me and I'm entitled and I want to satisfy my sin, then all of a sudden God is not good. God is not sufficient. God is not the glory that he deserves for my life. And then I decide that I need more and I declare to God that he is not good. That was David. Please, Lord, let it not be us. So much of our sin is a reflection how little we understand who we are in Christ and what we've been given in Christ. God, forgive us. God, forgive us. We're so selfish. We're so ungrateful so often. We have everything we could ever want in the Lord Jesus Christ. And look what happens to David here in verse 10 now. Here's the sentence. Now therefore the sword shall never depart from your house, because you've despised me and taken the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be your wife. Thus says the Lord, behold, I will raise up evil against you out of your own house. And I will take your wives before your eyes and give them to your neighbor, and he shall lie with your wives in the sight of the sun. And this is what happens in the rest of 2 Samuel now. Notice, for you did it secretly, but I will do this thing before all Israel and before the sun. Why do we have this here under the new covenant? Why do we have this example before us? Because this is written down for our instruction. This text right here is to warn us. This is to instruct us of the realities and the futile pursuit of sin within our lives. 1 Corinthians 10:12 on the screen for you. I want you to look at this. The word therefore points back to the verses before in verses 10 and 11. And what that's saying is the lies of the Old Testament saints were written down for our instruction. That's what it says. You can look it up later. Therefore, because these lies were written down for our instruction, let anyone who thinks that he stands take heed lest he fall. This is why we have the life of David right now, that we would look and learn and be warned and understand that our hearts must be treated with suspicion on the best of days. Look at the phrase between standing and falling in this text. The phrase between standing and falling is take heed. The difference between standing and falling is this: keep your heart with all vigilance. The heart is desperately wicked. Who can understand it? Take heed lest he fall. Loved ones, this is it right here. Take heed, take heed, take heed. Not one person in this room is immune to the reality and the hardness and the deceitfulness of sin. Not one person. And if you and I are wise, we will take heed lest we think we stand, because then we are just steps away from falling hard. Take heed. Again, wisdom. Treat your heart with suspicion. Always treat your own heart with suspicion. You know, in our world, the phrase that's so often said, it's like, hey, follow your heart. That is terrible advice. Just follow your heart. If I have one more teeny bopper song that has some kind of phrase of believe in yourself, or you can do it, or follow your heart. No. So what I do in my house sometimes when those songs come on, I pause the TV. Hey, follow your heart. Pause. Time out, kids. That is a lie. No. Don't follow your heart, because your heart will take you nowhere good at all. To the pit of hell is where it's going. Follow Jesus Christ. Dad, you're really weird. I know, okay? But, if you follow your heart, that's not going to be good. Follow Jesus. Jesus is the only one who can take our heart and make it clean. Jesus is the only one who can create in us that pure heart and renew the right spirit within me. And our world has these subtleties all embedded through our society. And yeah, believe in yourself. Believe in this? Really? Really? Me? Me? Believe in me? Are you kidding me? I can't stand this. The day when the old self is dead and gone. No more sin, no more pain, no more sorrow, no more frustration. Follow your heart? No thanks. Follow the heart of God, though. And follow the Lord Jesus Christ. This is why the Lord confronts us. Because he loves us. And in love, he will send, and he will speak, and he will sentence. And finally, in love, the Lord will save. Amen, church? The Lord will save. Look at verse 13 now. So all this goes on, and there's David with his face making an expression we can only imagine. And at the end of the sentencing, David has one phrase. That's it. And David said to Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. I have sinned against the Lord. Notice David gets it right here. At this moment now, his sin's not against Bathsheba. His sin is not even against Uriah. The ultimate implications of his sin is, Lord, I've sinned against you, and you only have I sinned against and done what is evil in your sight. What I love about this moment right here, there's no excuse from David. There's no pushback. There's no rationalization, and there's no inner lawyer. There's none of that. The dormant conscience of David in one moment, it was dormant for months, and in one moment, through the conviction of the Holy Spirit, his dormant conscience is brought back to life. That's so beautiful. The pilot light of David's heart was so close to going out, a flickering flame. But then all of a sudden, in a moment, by God's grace and God's love, God sends to him, God confronts him. And then the pilot light is rekindled and the flame starts to burn again. And David's heart starts to come alive. The man after God's own heart, all of a sudden, is now being renewed and restored. And despite his sin and despite his failure and despite all his heartache and his sins, God in his grace is allowing David yet again to feel and live and to know his goodness, even though David deserves it not. Because David in this moment turns to the only place he can. He turns in repentance and says, I have sinned against the Lord. The harpist whose harp was out of tune and the harpist who had not played in so long, in this one sentence, he picks up the harp again, and the harpist will sing and play again to the glory of God. Consequences will come. But the forgiveness and the grace of God will be found upon David's life and heart. The moment he says, I've sinned against the Lord, the pus of the infection is lanced. It is cut. And then the healing can begin. And isn't that sin in our souls? Sin is like pus of an infection to our soul. And repentance takes the knife and cuts it open so the pus can be released and the pain now starts to go away and the healing begins to begin. That's the power of repentance and confession. That's why the Lord is near to the broken heart and saves the crushed in spirit. That's why the sacrifices of God are a broken in spirit, a broken and contrite heart, God, you will not despise. That is why God gives grace to the humble, but he opposes the proud. Because when sin is in our souls and is pus of infection, repentance comes, cuts it open, and allows the healing to begin for the Lord to truly work again upon our lives. Oh God, may that be here today. Who here has an infection of the soul? The only answer to this is true repentance and to say, I have sinned against the Lord. Notice David's sorrow here is not worldly. It's not God fix my life. Oh God, I'm sorry for what I have done, so now can you solve my problems? No, it's godly sorrow. All he sees is vertical. Lord, I have wronged you. Lord, I have wronged you. Just in case you think this repentance is shallow in 2 Samuel, the entire Psalm in 51 is the explanation to the reality and the details of David's heart. And Psalm 51 will answer all your questions, whether or not you think this is real or sincere. It's likely that David, that night, as Nathan left the house, David wrote Psalm 51. Here's a couple of verses from Psalm 51 that David said. Verse 3 right here. Here's what he said. For I know my transgressions and my sin is ever before me. Verse 4. Against you, God, and you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight. And see, verses 3 and verse 4 inevitably lead to verse 10 now. Oh, God created me a clean heart. God created me a clean heart. You're the only one who can do it, Lord. And renew a right spirit within me. God created me a clean heart. I wonder who here today the Lord is in love, is confronting in sin because he loves you so much. Who here today needs to find repentance as the starting point for healing for their soul? Who here today needs to simply confess the phrase of David, I have sinned against the Lord? Who here today needs to take their heart? You know, the summary of this entire series, A Man After God's Own Heart, I'm so thankful for David's ups and downs, his triumphs and his failures. I'm so thankful because we're just like him then. And who here today, we summarize this whole series to take your heart and present it as an offering to the Lord and to say, God, my life has not been where it needs to be. But God, because you love me so much, you continue to call to me. And today's the day that I desire to put my heart before you, that you would use it right now, that you would use it right now. I surrender, I give up, I repent, and I ask you, Lord, to make me whole again. You would restore me and revive my heart of affection for the Lord Jesus Christ. Who here today is in that place? Oh Lord, create in us clean hearts. Because when the Lord has your heart, then he has your everything.
Thanks for listening to Live in the Light today. If you'd like to hear this message again or any messages in this series, visit us online at liveinthelight.ca. Or you can contact us by mail. Our mailing address in Canada is 500 Great Lakes Boulevard, Oakville, Ontario, L6L6X9. Live in the Light exists to see radical transformation in God's people through the revelation of God's truth. We believe that through the faithful and passionate preaching of God's word, disciples will be made and the church will be strengthened. Our prayer is as people are impacted by Live in the Light, they will be renewed in mind, reinforced in faith, and resolved in will to live in Jesus Christ. That's all for today. Join us next time at Live in the Light. Oh, yeah. I wanna-